Among the stories, we're going behind the headlines on tonight. The UK's youngest knife murderers jailed. Could alcohol be allowed back at some football grounds?
We want to take an evidence-based, proportionate view on these things. And so if there's a proposal that comes forward, we'll consider it.
And all aboard the Love Ship. I'm Kat Wright with some of the stories we've been covering today, Friday, the 27th of September. And we start with the sentencing of two of the UK's youngest ever knife murderers. Two 13-year-olds who were 12 at the time of their crime have been handed life sentences for murdering a young man in Wolverhampton. They're the youngest convicted murderers since the James Bulger case in 1993. Our reporter Kelly Maddox has the story.
Sean Cesar High was stabbed in the heart with a machete on the city's Stowlawn playing fields last November in what's been described as a horrifically cruel case. Both boys, who were 12 at the time of the attack, blamed each other for inflicting the fatal wounds after a dispute about Sean sitting on a park bench. Sentencing the pair, Judge Mrs. Justice Tipples says Sean had everything to live for.
His mother has described him as a brave soul who was generous and compassionate. He was adored and loved by his family, and as a young man aged 19, his whole future was ahead of him.
A victim impact statement read to the court heard how Sean's family, who live in the Caribbean, are haunted by what happened to him and how scared he must have been. Detective Inspector Damien Forrest from West Midlands Police told us it was a difficult case to work on.
I think what surprised me and my team, who were equally experienced, is the fact that two 12-year-old boys were found to be responsible for it. And it causes you to take a step back.
The boys have been told they'll spend a minimum of 8 years and 6 months in prison.
Thanks, Kelly. Next, as new figures have been released around stalking across the country, we've been hearing from the dad of a woman who was killed by her stalker. Yorkshire and the Humber region had the highest rates in England. Our reporter Becky Lomas has more.
We've been speaking to the dad of a North Derbyshire woman who was killed by her stalker. He admits that he's disturbed by recent figures, which suggest that stalking is still a huge problem for many people who are living in South Yorkshire.
Investigate all of the reports. Treat them as high risk to begin with. Start at the top and work down from there.
That's Richard Spinks. His 23-year-old daughter Gracie was killed by Sheffield man Michael Sellers near to Chesterfield back in 2021, just months after she'd reported him to the police. Well, Richard's been speaking to us following the release of fresh statistics, which show that nearly 7% of women aged 16 or over across Yorkshire and the Humber were victims of stalking last year. That's more than anywhere else in the country.
It is still going on. And it's not going to suddenly stop overnight, but we've got to keep chipping away at this and making a difference and making the police make changes in the way they investigate cases and certainly the police training.
Well, Richard says he believes that things are starting to improve.
Well, to another story concerning violence against women tonight, and two women who survived ordeals at the hands of men, including one who was targeted with a crossbow, have opened up about their experiences in the hope that others will seek help. It comes as police in Northern Ireland mark 2 years since launching a violence against women and girls strategy. Our reporter Tara Griffiths has more.
Chelsea Hamilton endured 3 years of coercive control and physical abuse by her former partner, who was training to become a pro MMA fighter. When she tried to leave, she was shot at with a crossbow that narrowly missed her and physically assaulted for a number of hours, including choking her unconscious. Her former partner is now in jail, but left her traumatised and with multiple injuries. She told us she has spoken out to encourage women in a similar situation to seek help.
I don't want anybody to leave it as long as I did. I left because I was about to die. It shouldn't get that far. It should never, ever get that far. I took so much and I completely lost myself as a person. I lost years of my life.
Another brave woman who has also opened up is Jane, not her real name. She was subjected to stalking by a 50-year-old man who was in her band but had never spoken to her. He's now in jail, and the PSNI also secured a stalking protection order, meaning if he makes contact with Jane or comes near her again, he'll go to jail for the maximum term of 5 years. She says she now has her life back.
The way I look at it now, it's like the roles have been reversed. I used to live in fear and not want to walk the streets. Now he physically has to be in fear, because if he walks down the same path as me and doesn't turn, he's in jail for 5 years.
The PSNI says it now plans to treat these types of crimes on a par with terrorism offences.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines, we're back at Hadrian's Wall, a year on from the sycamore gap tree being felled.
I didn't realise that it would be as emotional a thing as it is, and seeing what it means.
But first, there's renewed hope among football fans in Scotland that after more than 40 years, they could be allowed to enjoy an alcoholic drink while watching their team. The Health Secretary has told us the Scottish Government would give serious consideration to lifting the ban. Our Scottish political editor, Alan Smith, has discovered the Holyrood Government is coming round to the idea.
Alcohol at football grounds was shown the red card following riots between Rangers and Celtic fans at the 1980 Scottish Cup final. But lifelong St Mirren supporter and SNP MSP George Adam believes it's time for a rethink.
Things have moved on in football and we need to maybe look at this as a way of helping football clubs being able to generate some more money.
He wants to work with football clubs to come up with a plan, something backed by Andy Smith from the Scottish Football Supporters Association.
They see football as no different as a sport than rugby, and rugby has alcohol at its games. Like everything else, we would welcome a pragmatic introduction.
So could the Scottish Government turn to VAR to review the situation? I put that to Health Secretary Neil Gray.
So not totally against the idea.
We want to take an evidence-based proportionate view on these things, and so if there's a proposal that comes forward, we'll consider it.
So no final whistle yet on the long-standing debate, with the ball now firmly with football bosses.
Well, no one from the footballing authorities wanted to speak to us about this today, but we understand they're encouraged by what the Scottish Health Secretary has had to say, and they're in open dialogue with the government on the matter. You're listening to Behind the Headlines. Now, today is exactly 12 months on from what was described as a shocking act of vandalism, the felling of the Sycamore Gap tree. The iconic tree in Northumberland was almost 200 years old and featured in the 1991 film Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. But a year to the day since the tree was chopped down, a special exhibition is launching where members of the public can actually touch the remaining trunk. That can be found at the Sill Centre, where our reporter Sophie Green is for us.
It's been an emotional day here in Northumberland with the official opening of the Sycamore Gap one-year on exhibition. Children from schools around the area have been taking part in the celebrations of the tree's legacy. I chatted to Lewis about what the tree means to them.
Well, it was quite sad because it was the tree in our area and it was our tree, and someone just came and cut it down. It's just devastating, really.
How are you feeling a year on?
Some people have been calling it Sycamore Stump. For me, I don't think it's Sycamore Stump, it's Sycamore Gap. And it still is Sycamore Gap 1 year on.
From tomorrow, members of the public will be able to come to the Sill to see the exhibition themselves, interacting and even touching the piece of the trunk on display. But lots of people have been brave in the chilly wind to mark the occasion at the tree's stump next to Hadrian's Wall today as well.
It survived two world wars and countless storms, just couldn't survive humanity.
I didn't realise that it would be as emotional a thing as it is, coming up and being in this part of the world and seeing what it means.
If something good comes out of it and we've got some saplings we can plant them elsewhere, then that's something positive.
Despite the sunshine today, it's a stark sight now, with a beloved tree gone from the skyline. But there's hope for the future, as the National Trust say they'll be gifting saplings from the sycamore to communities around the UK in the hopes of preserving its legacy.
Thank you, Sophie. Well, two men have denied felling the tree and causing criminal damage. Daniel Graham and Adam Carruthers, both from Cumbria, will stand trial later this year. And finally, a couple who got engaged after meeting when their cruise ship Odyssey got stranded in Belfast say they're hoping their impromptu four-month stint in the city is coming to an end soon. Our Northern Ireland reporter Hannah Patterson spoke to the happy couple.
Gian and Angela say they've been told the luxury ship could finally set sail on Sunday. It's been stranded here for 4 months after facing a series of setbacks. As the pair explored Belfast city, they realised they had a connection very quickly and decided to get engaged.
We are going to get married on the Odyssey. We're going to get married between Panama and Costa Rica. Of course, all of our residents and friends are invited, so it's going to be a gigantic ship wedding.
And just 10 days into their relationship, they got matching tattoos to make sure they never forget their extended city break.
We just really wanted to have something that signified a kind of a never-ending love. And so we got the Trinity knot done on our legs.
They told me Belfast will be in their hearts forever, so the tattoo is a symbol of the city as well as their love.
Oh, that's beautiful. And there's more on these and other stories on the news pages of our website or across social media.